Conversation with an individual who used to attend our church on a regular basis. She's now 83 years old and she no longer drives into the city. In fact, the last two times she came to church, she had minor fender benders on the way home. So it has been several years since she has been here. But we do continue to talk by phone about once a month. Anyway, she made the comment that she did not know how she would have made it through life without those principles that she had learned at Divine Science. Now, she has been studying truth for a very long time, but she admits that, yes, it has been a process, sometimes a difficult one. She related that recently she received deeper insight into a particular aspect that she thought she totally understood. But now she admits she hadn't gotten it at all. She thought she knew. But further study revealed that she had not actually gained the deeper meaning until now. And she wondered why. Well, I thought about this, and frankly, I can relate. There have been those times when I affirmed what I considered to be true, and it was. However, upon deeper reflection, I discovered that my personal affirmation bore witness to a minimum of understanding of what it was I thought I was proclaiming to know. It was as if I was trying to demonstrate something that I did not yet fully comprehend, only I did realize it. Only after more profound study and practice was I able to receive the deeper meaning of what I thought I knew. While I was forced to admit that, yes, while I was stirred by the knowledge that there is such a truth, and I've been studying it for a while, clearly a great deal more was required of me before I could testify to what I had read, to what I had seen, and to what I had heard. And I also realized it might be a little while before I could consciously know what it was like to actually have truth live me and move me. If it is possible for us to delay the activity of truth in our lives, I would have to say that we have found the way to do so. And just like that lady on the phone, I too had to ask why. The author and teacher, Lillian DeWaters, she defines truth in this way: one God, one self, one spirit, one mind, and one existence reigning alone eternally. She goes on, truth is ever present, complete, absolute, total, all. Truth stands alone. It has no opposites. Her definition echoes those of other modern-day authors, as well as the wisdom passed on by the ancient mystics and holy men. Now, the teaching is really quite simple. Oneness, wholeness, completion, no division, one life, with a variety of four, and especially no separation from God. The simplicity of it is one thing. However, living it is a little more difficult, which is why it is said that truth is hard work. Now, who actually said that truth is hard work? Well, I did when I made this the title of today's lesson, and this is what I mean. Most of us begin our study of truth based on reading, studying, taking classes, and then practicing what we think we know. The Bible classes here at the church, they are taught according to consciousness, evolving from the Adam awareness of life to Christ consciousness. And then we are told that it is every man's and every woman's journey to proceed in this way. All of the stories in the Bible, all of the characters, the valleys and the wilderness, they all reveal a stage of awareness that relates to a particular state of consciousness. And we get so excited, certain that we have discovered the process that will lead us to a deeper, fuller understanding of life. But I have to ask, how many of us actually apply the lessons that we read about to our personal experience? Can we actually relate to what we have read? I dare say that we have all found us in the same situation as David, facing a problem that appeared to be greater than us. Now, our problem might have been one of health or supply or even something else. But regardless of what it was, it appeared as a giant stumbling block threatening us in some way. Now, we may have understood when we read the Bible where David chose the armor that suited his belief, a pebble and a slingshot. But what about us? What are the weapons and armor that we choose to meet our problems? David had the confidence that God was with him. And he trusted what God had given him as his method of meeting the problem. But again, I do have to ask, what about us? Do we have the faith of David? Do we have the conviction that allows us to step out and act on what we know belongs to us as belief and conviction? Or do we still find us consulting our friends and our family, attempting to use what worked for them? Some people go with the flow, accepting the opinion and suggestions of others. You see, it is so easy for us to rest our attention on the problem, on that giant barrier that threatens and intimidates, forgetting that help is at hand. Now, we say we have been studying truth, but until it becomes our belief and our conviction, we will not be able to act from its basis. Until that time, we will simply be repeating the biblical stories, testifying to something that really we do not yet fully realize. Yes, we read and we studied the Bible, and we were stirred by what we read. But if we did not hear it from within, we did not truly get it. I repeat, the principle of truth is quite simple, but the practice of it, well, that's a little more difficult. Jesus told us that the way is straight and narrow, and few will find it. The early divine science ministers talked about doing the work. Now, the word work, it designates or indicates a degree of activity. But when it comes to spiritual work, remember, it's not the activity of physical might or mental thought, but rather, by my spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. This is where it gets a little bit difficult. There are no detours on that path that is straight and narrow. There is no division in completion. There's no separation in wholeness. But it takes a deep, profound study to really understand what this means. You see, spiritual work is an inside job, and few of us are willing or even able to leave the work of the mental thought and physical might and trust God alone to do the guiding and the directing. We may study truth, we may talk about truth, and then profess that we believe it. We have read the passage in the Bible that tells us, it is God which works in you, both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Well, this may have sounded interesting to us, and you know, we did think we understood it, but many did not get it. It would take deep contemplation, deeper reflection, to discover that, yes, there is an indwelling presence, and yes, we can trust it to do the work. And the explanation given is this: for we are laborers together with God. Yes, the time will come when we put down all of those books, and I do mean all of them, and turn within and be taught of God. Truth is made known to us through inner light only, through that still small voice. Now, the individual that I talked to on the phone, she called the practice of truth a process. When we do our work as human beings, process is our method of unfoldment, and this is how it has been throughout all ages of time. In Jesus' day, he had his followers. They were there with him, and they could testify to what they had seen and to what they had heard. And yes, they believed in the works, for they saw Jesus perform them. They had a name for them. They called them miracles. Multitudes went to the mountain, and they witnessed the loaves and the fishes being multiplied, and yes, they were fed. They could certainly testify to what they had seen, but few, if any, understood that they could do the same. They had witnessed the work of truth, but they did so with the eye of minimal understanding, giving all credit to Jesus. They completely missed that part of the deeper meaning, that it was not Jesus who did the work. They did not accept what Jesus knew, that it is God which works in you, both to will and to do of his good pleasure. They were unable to repeat the miracles of Jesus because they simply could not believe that they could do so. Oh yes, Jesus had said, what I can do, ye can do also, because it's the Father within who does the work, and that would be my Father and your Father. His followers could bear witness to the fact that yes, they did hear Jesus say these things, but they could not apply them to themselves. They simply could not accept the truth of their being. And frankly, even if they could happen to believe Jesus, it was far easier to allow him to feed them than to learn how to feed themselves. The same was true when it came to healing. It was far easier to just allow Jesus to do the work. Yes, multitudes sat at his feet and they listened, but they would not go out and practice. Eventually, Jesus had to go away, forcing his followers to seek that path which is straight and narrow, and they did so through deeper personal reflection and contemplation. Now, I believe that there may have been some who were up to the task while others were not. You see, the human inclination is to be a wee bit lazy. And if we can find someone else to do the work for us, well, we gladly let them do so. Oh yes, there is that matter that of the God within who does the work. But that would require that we become laborers with God. Our surface learning does not explain how one would become a laborer with God. Remember, I said that the work of spirit is an inside job. To labor with God means we go to where God is. God is in his kingdom. So we must find the way to his kingdom. Now we know by now that the way to the kingdom is that path that is straight and narrow. So let us talk about this straight and this narrow experience. Well, let's go back to what Lillian De Water said concerning truth. Truth stands alone. It has no opposites. So to think in this way is a straight and narrow view of life. As individual human beings, we become distracted, finding it difficult to maintain this discipline. This view does not allow for any other idea or opinion that we might have, except for the one of wholeness and completion. This view requires the single eye, that one that is stayed on God. And above all, We must be true to our desire to be laborers with God. We must have no other agenda, no other distraction. Because you see, we are told that only the pure in heart shall see God. Now, pure means not tainted, touched, or mixed with anything else. Again, I say that this is not easy. I believe that practicing truth is hard work. Now, when I say hard work, I do not mean stress or strain. You see, it's really not possible to storm the gates of heaven or to force our way into its chambers. Practicing truth is living as we truly are. Well, how do we do this? Well, how do we practice anything? Studying and practicing music develops your musical consciousness. Studying art develops your artistic consciousness. To practice and study anything, it brings deeper understanding of the object of our time and devotion. Truth develops our consciousness of truth, our spiritual awareness of our relation to God. Go to the thing you wish to experience, claim what you know of it, and then become still and allow it to reveal itself. All true revelation does come from within, from the inner to the outer. Now, earlier I did speak of surface learning. This is learning derived through what appears and seems to be, just touching the surface of it, never going deep enough to discover what lies beneath the surface. And you know what lies beneath the surface? Is the activity that put it in place. To gain knowledge, yes, we must go to its source, because you see, the source of anything speaks of origin and cause. Even though staying true to the practice of truth is hard work, the sincere individual does not give up. Ephesians 6:10 tells us, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might." Yes, let us be strong in our conviction. We are encouraged to do something about our own consciousness. So please, do not become discouraged. The development of spiritual consciousness is possible for everyone on earth. However, the degree that we attain does depend on our willingness to devote time and effort to do so. So we really do need to get busy. We usually start where we are, while we are still entertaining an idea of us that is not totally the one that labors with God. About truth. Now remember, the goal is to learn truth so that we may know us as the one of eternal life. Truth reveals the perfect self, the spiritual self, that one that has no beginning or end. And you see, this eternal self already has existence. So it's not a matter of us making or creating something, but rather claiming what already is. But we are working with identity, so our first attempt might be to somehow make this human being spiritual. The thought is to make this one of flesh and blood into the one of eternal life while still maintaining its form. But we all know that material form does not last. When the life force leaves the body, there's really nothing to sustain its form. So let us not try to spiritualize something that does not belong to eternity. But at first we act like we don't know that this is so. So we may begin our transformation through progressive human footsteps. We may do this through education, convinced that improving our mind would certainly count for something. We may work out at the gym, convinced that a well-toned body would be of help in taking on spiritual form. The thought is that we grow into the perfect self by first perfecting the physical one. But this is not so. The Bible tells us what is of the flesh is flesh and what is of spirit is spirit. We do not move back or forward to our perfect self, nor do we grow into it. We already are that one perfect self. We say we know about truth, declaring that we are of God, that one that is made in His image and of His likeness. And then we claim His inherences and attributes and qualities as our very own. But when we watch what we actually do, many times we don't act like this is so. As I said, living from the principle of truth is hard work. So let us choose this day to practice in a different way. When we make our declaration that there is no self apart from God, let us become silent and allow the still small voice to reveal it to us. Let us choose to put aside the outer methods of learning, to put away all of those books and be taught of God, taught by that light that illumines the consciousness that is able and receptive and open to receive it. As the light lives us and moves us, we are given the answers and the solutions to any need that we may be called upon to face. What appeared at first as a giant barrier is revealed to be the result of a belief in opposites or simply the arm of flesh. As we learn to be laborers with God, we know without a doubt that we are not doing anything. God does the work. Let us choose to be pure in heart so that we may see God. It is every man's and every woman's destiny to do so. This morning we have the opportunity to become still, enter the silence, and be alone with God. Would you join me now in our closing meditation? As we close the worship service, we enter a time of stillness where we release our thoughts and quiet our emotions. The command is given, be still, so that I may hear the voice of the indwelling presence. The Bible tells us that we are to be taught of God. In the solitude of the moment, the receptive heart listens and it obeys. Truth reveals that God is our source. God created us and sent us forth as a light unto the world. Truth reveals that we're not alone. In the sanctuary of our soul's awareness, we release the work of the personal self, and we rest in the assurance that God is, and He never leaves us. In the coming week, let us not weary ourselves with the appearance of temporary conditions. Remember, we are absolute and eternal. Let us act like this is so. Let us go in peace. Amen. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May He cause His light to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. Turn within, acknowledge Him, so that He may lift your consciousness and give you His peace. Amen.